All right, everybody. Welcome to the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker, along with my co-host, Jordan Barker.
Hello. How you doing today, Jordan? How so good? How are you doing, Adam?
Oh, man. So good. So good. Excited to have our guest today. We've got a good friend of ours here. His name is Mo Parikh. Did I say that right, Mo?
Yes.
And Mo owns a company called Bandwango, and it's a technology company for the tourism industry. You know, we've talked about some of the marketing issues and challenges in the tourism industry. And I think today is going to be kind of a fun detour from where we've been, talking about a technology solution that I think will solve some of the problems we've talked about in the past. So, Mo, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you guys do at Bandwango?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from New Jersey. I moved here in 2007 to Salt Lake City. I originally moved here to pursue a PhD in bioengineering at the University of Utah.
So naturally, tourism.
Naturally, right? Tourism. It was a perfect departure. I realized after 7 years there that I love travel and I love business. So I started this company. We launched in May of 2015. We're headquartered in Salt Lake City, and we're continuing to grow now.
Awesome. And awesome. I have seen you guys. You know, we've been going to the same travel shows for years, right? And back when it was just even, I think it was just you pitching this at one of the conferences we went to called DMA West. And met you there, and it's amazing to see how much you've grown and how many clients you've added, and it's fun to see how quickly you guys have jumped onto the scene and made an impact. So it's cool.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Tell me a little bit. I mean, you said you came from New Jersey to Utah. You were going to study bioengineering, right? At the University of Utah.
Go Utes. Sorry.
Yeah, Jordan's a big Utah fan, so that's good. That's good. I'm in the minority here as a BYU fan, but that's okay. So why the University of Utah? And this is more of a curiosity for me, not necessarily relevant to the podcast, but what took you from Jersey all the way to Utah?
Well, I love to snowboard, for one. So being in the mountains is important. Secondly, it was a top 10 or top 15 program in the country. And these PhD programs are notoriously hard to get into, so it was the only one I got into. So I really didn't have a choice, to be honest with you. but end of the day, it brought me here around the mountains. And now I'm just living here full-time with my girlfriend.
Sounds about right. The University of Utah, top-tier program. Makes sense. Makes total sense.
I'm outnumbered, so I'm
not going
to
you're
going to
pass. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's probably smart. That's probably wise. Okay, got it.
Well, so you got here. You started working on this app, or really software platform. I don't want to downgrade what it is. But before that, you know, you said you loved to travel. Tell me your favorite place in the world that you've ever been.
Well, that's a hard one. So I've been to a lot of countries. Sort of one of my favorite cities in the world is definitely Hong Kong. And that's an incredibly diverse city, surrounded by mountains, surrounded by water, just a lot of amazing people, great food there. That's definitely up there. But, I mean, I probably have a list of 10 other cities that are just incredible in India and in China and Australia and London. It's really hard to sort of pinpoint one just because I've been to so many places.
You've been around the block, man.
Yeah,
so if we were trying to, because we ask everybody what's their dream destination, is there anything left that you haven't been to? What's your dream destination?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to go to Singapore. That's been on the list for a long time. Thailand has really been on the list for a while. That'll probably be our next trip later this year.
Thailand would be awesome. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, you know, Jordan and I, we gave away our dream destinations and best place. We're not as well traveled as you.
That's for
sure. I'm going to be honest with you. But so we won't necessarily go into ours today. But I want to dive in a little bit. We actually had a great conversation on our last episode with Caitlin Eskelson from the Utah Tourism Industry Association. And she actually talked a lot about how one of the biggest holes that needs to be filled in destination marketing is the customer experience once they arrive on scene. And I was really excited to have you on because, you know, destinations spend so much money getting people to visit.
Yep.
Right? And then there's not a whole lot in some cases of effort. Okay, now they're there. What do we do now? We spent all this money to get them there. They showed up. How do we make sure their experience is what we want it to be so that they talk about it to their friends and so that they share it on social media and have the experience that makes them want to come back? So tell me a little bit about Bandwango and how you guys help with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the name of our platform is called the Destination Experience Engine. So really at the heart of what we do is around experiences. And the whole sort of concept of Bandwango was born around this notion of what can we do to improve that visitor experience? Because if you look at destination marketing, they've done a fantastic job more at the top of the funnel. They do an amazing job driving traffic through the digital channels. They can measure certain metrics at the top of that funnel. But when you start getting into the bottom of that funnel, the question really becomes, what happened next? Right? And there's nothing to say that customers and visitors that come to these cities don't have an amazing time to become advocates, but the challenge has been always there's no way to measure that stuff. So the whole platform is really built around the notion of activating the content that DMOs have created by creating experiential style programs like ale trails, like attraction passes, golf passports, retail trails that can create conversion points that can be both free and paid. So it's not always around create the transaction, but then deliver something of value to that customer onto their device and measure everything down to that business level. When you do that, a couple of things happen. One, consumers realize that notion of convenience. They're basically like, great, I can just sign up for this or purchase this, and now I have it on my phone, and I can easily get around the city, figure out what I want to do. But then secondly, the customers sort of get the curation that DMOs are so great at putting together, just easily done for them. They can get these things easily delivered. Because if you go to, for example, a DMO site, you might see, here's the top 10 breweries with a patio in our city. And that content's fantastic, but how can we create a conversion point against that content, capture that customer's information, and then deliver something of value to that customer while opening up a new communication channel? So really in the heart of everything we do is enabling DMOs to infinitely organize all the things to do in their cities into these experiential programs that are primarily delivered via web applications to consumers. So we don't download apps with our system. It's all delivered through fully white-labeled web applications.
Got it. So if I'm a destination marketer, how do I know if this is a good fit for my destination, right? Do I have to have, you know, a lot of golf courses? How do I kind of start to think about that, and when is a good time for me as a marketer at that destination to start considering a solution like Bandwango?
Yeah, so I think the first step is really understanding as a destination marketing organization why you exist, right? Who are the customers that you're actually serving? Because even if the destination doesn't have a lot of high-ticket attraction-style products, they're serving a certain type of customer. Certain markets are great for tourism and visitation. Some are great for locals. Some are great for visiting friends and relatives or convention attendees. So the whole notion of our platform is this unlimited flexibility to curate experiences for all these customer types. So it's not necessarily of, will this work or will it not work? It's more the question of, who are the customers are we serving and how can we highlight the best of our destination for them?
That makes sense.
So you're saying if a destination has personas created, right? Let's say they have a top three personas that they have come visit. You're saying you craft experiences unique to each persona within the destination, is that correct?
Exactly, yeah. We'll look at what those personas are interested in, what maybe their average length of stay is, what their purchase behavior looks like. Based on that, we'll organize and curate all these different things to do. And things to do is a broad term, right? That can mean everything from an attraction, a museum, a retailer, a restaurant, a bar, a brewery, a golf course. It really doesn't matter because the whole point of this platform is curating products for these different types of customers.
Makes sense. We talk a lot about, in fact, on the last episode, we talked about marketing mistakes and we talked about what we can learn from those, why those are valuable, why those are important. Where do you feel like destination marketers today, where do they go wrong? So we talked about we get them there, we get a visitor to our destination. Where do marketers go wrong? What should they be looking at and how should they improve that?
I think the biggest thing, in my opinion, is lack of measurement strategy. A lot of destination marketing organizations we talk to and we ask, how are you acquiring your customers? What's happening down this funnel? And they a lot of times just don't have the measurements in place the right way. The challenge has always been in the DMO and CVB world that the metrics of success have traditionally been things like site visits, time spent on site, clicks out to partner websites. And that information is great, but I think that's just one piece of the puzzle. Because you really need to get a deeper understanding of, great, we did all these things, we drove people to our website, they engaged with our content, but really what happened after that? And it's always just been this black box.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I, you know, I not to go back to your history, right? But you've filled a really interesting hole within the tourism industry, right? And that visitor experience, I hear I came to the University of Utah for I can't remind me what it was.
Bioengineering.
It's something way smarter than anything that I can't even remember what it is, right? So you came for that. How did you identify this hole in the tourism industry? Because it's just an unexpected turn, right?
Yeah, it really happened organically. Initially, the notion of Bandwango was actually built in the ski and snowboard, in the mountain travel industry.
Okay.
The initial
concept. And you're a big snowboarder,
right? I love to snowboard, yeah. So the initial idea was, well, all these ski resorts have group sales offices. They're providing like a 30% discount on the lift ticket. Lift tickets are getting really expensive. Why can't we build a platform that only works with organizations that have group sales offices to offer volume-based discounts to groups that are curated through social networks? And then we started going to the Mountain Travel Symposium, MTS, for a couple years. This was back in 2012 when Bandwango was sort of informally born. We were going to these trade shows, and that's where we met Eric Thompson, the vice president of marketing for Visit Salt Lake. And he started looking at what we were building, and he said, wow, this is interesting for our ConnectPass product. And then in late 2014, we sort of looked at each other and said, well, this seems like a pretty interesting opportunity here. Why don't we dive into it a little bit more? Ended up completely pivoting out of the ski and snowboard space into destination marketing. And then everything from that point on that's been built has been built by listening to the industry. You know how many trade shows I go to.
Yeah.
There's a reason I go to them. It's obviously to build relationships, but it's also to learn and listen to the industry to see what they want and looking for. And so every part of Bandwango is built literally from the ground up based on the needs of a DMO.
That's awesome. One of the things that you mentioned was you activate a DMO's content, which I think is a really cool way to say it because, you know, until someone actually does an activity or goes out and spends money within a destination, it's literally words on a page, right? Or words on a website. So do you mind just talking a little bit more about activating that content and turning words on a page into a real experience for the visitor? And how do visitors find out about what it is you guys are doing with destinations?
Yeah, so everything we do is fully white labeled for the destination marketing organization. So first thing to remember is Bandwango is not a consumer facing brand at all. Everything we do leverages the existing marketing and advertising efforts of the DMO. It leverages their content on their website. So when I say the word activate content, what I mean is one thing that is done really well is driving traffic to these pages, not only because they have budget to do it, but because the content's fantastic. There's organic equity here. If you search for things to do in Salt Lake City, Visit Salt Lake shows up in the top three search results all the time. So when I say activating content, what I mean is when people are going to different pages on Visit Salt Lake's website, we can dynamically place calls to actions against those. So if somebody's on a blog post that's talking about, here's the top 10 family-friendly things to do in Salt Lake, we can place, hey, did you know there's a Connect Pass available for you? And even on listing pages on the DMO's website, we can dynamically drop in what the offer or the admission or the coupon is that our programs can provide to them. So it's around leveraging the entire network that the DMO so wonderfully built to create these conversion points, which then gets data, which then creates measurable impact in that destination.
Got it. If I'm a visitor to the destination, and let's say that they're a customer of yours today, so I am now a visitor to a destination that's a Bandwango customer, how do I find out about your platform? Like, what does that look like, and what does kind of that initial experience look like, and how might I engage with your platform?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways. A lot of our customers come from referrals. We work very hard to keep our customers happy. We work very closely with them. So a lot of business comes from referrals. Also trade shows. We go to a lot of trade shows. We think it's important to build relationships, to understand what's going on in the industry. And the third way we're seeing more and more these days is through organic search, actually. People are finding our platform and our website because they're looking to create an ale trail. They're looking to create a passport or experiential style product, and they'll find us that way. So it's really sort of a mix. Originally, it was all referral. Now we're starting to sort of branch out.
Okay. Makes sense. Go to a ton of trade shows. Worst airport or trade show experience that you've had? We've all had them.
That's a good question. Airport-wise, I hate LAX. I hope Visit Los Angeles is listening. But it seems like they've been under construction for a long time. Worst trade show, I truthfully don't think there's been a worst trade show. Every show we go to, we get benefit out of. And it's really how you treat these trade shows and how you approach it. Right, we really put a lot of focus on going to these shows and not focus on selling anything. We go to these shows to build relationships, to meet cool people, to have fun, and we think the business will come later because people want to trust you. We build these relationships. They hear about us from their colleagues, and that's how we grow this thing.
Cool. We, you know, one time we were going to a trade show in a state that, that shall remain nameless, but when we arrived, we found that the airline – somehow our trade show booth materials hadn't made it onto the plane, and so all of our stuff arrived actually late. And the state wasn't very happy about it. We didn't have any control over it, right? That was quite the runaround, and we finally got our stuff there about halfway through the first day. So that was probably our biggest nightmare experience, right? Was being at this trade show with literally a booth space but nothing to show anyone.
It's the worst. But hey, it creates a good story.
That's right.
You know, I always
say
these trade shows, the booth is the formality. The real business happens at the networking events.
That's right.
Yeah, no question. You touched on something I wanted to double click on. So you talked about a lot of the, you know, there's content. It's great to have that content. It's great to access that. But, you know, really being able to amplify that and to activate that content. Talk to me a little bit about where you see the landscape of the tourism industry going, right? Like, what does that look like? What does the future of marketing within the tourism industry look like today? And I think you touched on it a little bit where there's obviously going to be greater and greater need for visibility into, okay, if I'm spending marketing dollars, what's the true ROI and how do I measure the impact of those dollars? But where do you see things going from? You obviously have been very active in the tourism industry. What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, I think traditionally, what we're seeing now in the space is a question of relevancy, right? A lot of DMOs and CVBs are getting questioned of, you're getting all this money, what is that economic impact? What I see is going to happen in the long term is it's really going to start focusing more and more on the bottom of the funnel as opposed to on the top of the funnel. Traditionally, and still, people think that DMOs exist for serving customers within that discovery phase. And I think it's starting to shift, especially with the advent of the web, the advent of bloggers everywhere, content everywhere. It used to be back in the day where the DMO's content was really unique, but now, frankly, you can find a lot of this stuff in other places. So then the question begs, you know, how is the DMO in a unique position to do something different? I think they're in a unique position because, one, they have the local relationships. They know these people that own these businesses. And two, they have local authority. They really know the destination better than anybody. Man. Who better to curate an experience than somebody that lives in the city? And, you know, traditionally also, it's been around hotel bookings, has really been this buzzword, heads and beds, for a long, long time, right? And the challenge there is OTAs dominate that space. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get held up, and it's not going to be given up anytime soon. Yeah. And the question then becomes, you know, if you look at the top pages that a DMO's website visitation is, events and things to do typically.
Yep.
And that's really bottom of the funnel sort of work. And that's why I predict that they're going to really get more into this conversion realm and the measurement realm to really understand what their impact is.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, that's interesting stuff. Tell me about, I think we've talked in really broad terms about your product, right? Tell me about one of the passes that you've created and maybe how a destination has implemented that and seen success. Maybe not Salt Lake, since we've talked a lot about Salt Lake.
Yeah, so I'll give you just a couple quick examples. One of our clients, Visit Houston, is really a trailblazer, in my opinion, in this space. They, in the last 2 years now, really the last year and a half of full-time in-business selling, they've created the Houston Experience Marketplace. What that's designed to do is exactly what I talked about, be this sort of bottom-of-the-funnel conversion mechanism where Houston really get into commerce. And they have now nearly, I believe, 100 local businesses on the platform. They're creating products like the Museum Pass, the Houston Brew Pass. And so they've created this entire marketplace for customers that are coming to Houston where they can find, discover, and buy all things to do in Houston. So that's really an interesting example of a destination really jumping in with both feet and getting into this commerce game of generating revenue. Now, on the other side of it, you have clients, for example, like Visit Colorado Springs. One great thing about them is they use our platform only for a free passport. They do no e-commerce. They do no transactions. They have a program called the Crafts and Drafts Program. It's a 100% free passport for the customer. They sign up, give us their information, and we deliver a collection of deals and discounts at local restaurants, bars, breweries, cafes, and wineries. Great thing about that is, one, it's free to the customer, and secondly, they're able to truly measure economic impact. In about a six-month period last year, we distributed nearly 8,000 passports, and the economic impact was around $360,000.
Impressive.
And then the third quick example is destinations using us in the convention services realm. So thinking about taking the old school show your badge programs, because who wants to take your badge around at night at a show and have a piece of paper that tells me I get deals? So we move those mobile. And our system can very quickly launch microsites for conventions that are branded to the convention, that has messaging for the convention, and has curated deals and discounts specifically for these conventions. And Houston also does that really well. And then there's obviously a lot of other examples I can go through, but that's sort of an overview of paid and free type of experiences.
That's great. If I'm a destination listening to this podcast today, hopefully what our listeners are thinking is, I need to take a look at my customer experience, and do I really have custom tailored activities or roadmaps or passes for these people to use when they get to my destination? Because you talked a lot about how so much effort is put into top of funnel. I mean, I look at campaigns like the Mighty Five and the 18 Summers campaign from Idaho, or even on a more local level, our Bryce Canyon campaign, or some of the other destinations that we work with, and I'm saying, we've put so much effort into getting people here. Mm-hmm. What am I doing once they get here? And hopefully, some of the stuff that you said has helped people understand, here's how I could really improve my visitor experience. Caitlin, when we had her on, talked a lot about how she believes that the future of marketing for tourism is going to revolve around the visitor experience. And so it's kind of interesting to look at, you guys are coming from two very different perspectives, right? She was at the state of Utah before in their office of tourism, and now she's at the Utah Tourism Industry Association. And yet you're a software application that can help improve the visitor experience, and you're both saying the same thing, right? I think that speaks a lot to the future of the industry, and also the importance of the customer experience. I mean, you look at any other brand, right? Major brands that are out there, when someone buys their product, so much emphasis is put on, okay, the packaging, if it's a widget, right? We all know Apple's packaging capabilities and the experience that you get when you open that for the first time, right? Well, it should be no different in a destination. And, we do such a good job of getting them to make the purchase. But what is it actually like when they open the experience? And I'm using an analogy there, but I think you see what I'm saying. I'm really glad. I think this is really valuable for us to talk about the user experience. I'm excited about what you guys are doing in the industry.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really cool. One question that's been on our minds that we've asked on the last couple of episodes is really talking about marketing at a higher level. There's so many facets to marketing. There's messaging, there's the tactics, there's channels. Sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming, right? So from where you're sitting, if you were to put your finger on one thing that if I'm a marketer and I am feeling a bit overwhelmed about all the different facets of marketing, if you were to say, if you can get this one thing right, is there something that comes to mind where you said, hey, if you could focus in one area, I would recommend focusing there? What would that be?
Like I said earlier, measurement. Because part of the issue with marketers, in my opinion, is marketing is inherently an experimental field, right? Sure. You run a lot of experiments. And the challenge you see is when there's no measurement in place, you're operating in the dark. And I think one of the reasons that marketers get overwhelmed is because they're trying all these things, and they have no idea really what's working. So the first and foremost thing is build the foundation before you build the house. And the foundation in this case is measure everything the best that you can and set this thing up to be the right way from the beginning, so that when you start doing all these activities, you can actually say, this worked, this didn't work. And what that's going to do is it's going to declutter your life a little bit. And it's going to allow you to focus on the things that actually have the most impact.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we talked a lot about that on even the last episode, where it's, you know, it's really hard to argue with data, really hard to argue with numbers. And so I think the more, to your point, that we can get at the data, the more compelling a story we can tell and the better direction that we can go. And I think it even feeds back into, if we know that someone's having a positive experience and we can quantify that, like we can get their feedback, we see their repeat visitors, I think that's where it gets really powerful, right? Because again, we talked about top of funnel versus bottom of funnel, and I agree with you. I think that that's absolutely where it's going. I think that we leave a lot of opportunity on the table when we focus on let's get someone to a destination. But, you know, you think about places growing up that you visited or that your family, it was kind of always the go-to. I don't know how if you guys had the same experience I did, but we went to the same places every summer. And the reason we did that is because our experience there was so powerful and impactful. And now I'm taking my family and my kids to those same destinations, right? So if you have the data that supports what you're doing and it's driving results and it's driving revenue, but then I think it ties back into what's that customer experience? How do we quantify that? And then how do we make sure that we're getting visitors back to the destination? And then they're really becoming those brand ambassadors for our destination and telling their friends, their family, and bringing their, you know, their kids as well.
And the other thing, just real quick, just to note to that is, you know, I think the other sort of challenge here is when a lot of destination marketers don't have the working knowledge of measurement, of measurement analytics. And oftentimes we just rely on third parties to do this for us without at least having the ability to speak that language a little bit. We work with a lot of clients and I say, can I have access to your Google Tag Manager container? And they say, what's Google Tag Manager?
Yeah.
And literally Google Tag Manager is built for non-technical marketers to place measurement pixels. So I think that's sort of one of the challenges. And the other thing is, it's not necessarily always about the transaction. You mentioned the notion of creating destination advocates, right? People that are willing to speak around how amazing the destination is. One of the reasons that we are so focused on conversions, whether it's free or paid, I don't care, is because we can capture the customer's email address and their phone number a lot of times. And now you've opened up a communication channel where you can actually get this information and get them to become your advocate, as opposed to sort of working in this, you know, this black box, because aggregated anonymous data is great to understand high-level insights, but unless you have actual consumer information, it's very difficult to actually have them be your advocate and measure that stuff.
Makes sense. And I think consumers in general, whether it's tourism or any other industry, they want you to understand that they're a unique snowflake, right? Like they want to understand that you get that they're not just, you know, yes, you can group them. And to your point, if you have anonymous data, you can kind of bucket them into different categories. But I want to know, and I want to hear back from, whether it's a brand or a destination or whatever, I want to understand that they get that, you know, there's certain things about me that are unique and that I'm there for a specific purpose and they want personalized experiences. They're demanding it more and more. So I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Mo, is there anything that we haven't asked you directly that maybe would be good to share with our audience or something that maybe we've missed that would be good for everybody to hear from you?
That's a good question. You know, you guys covered a lot of information. I feel like I've really poured my heart out.
You have. You definitely have.
Yeah, not that I can really think of. You know, obviously, we'd love for people to check out what we're doing. How can they do that?
Where do destinations go to learn more about Bandwango?
The best is just to our website, bandwango.com. Along there, there's a blog. There's case studies. You can at least take a look at the different things we're doing with destinations. We're very much of a hands-on company, so this is definitely not a platform where we license it and we say best of luck. We are with all our partners each every along the way.
Great.
Awesome.
Great. I think today is a perfect illustration of why we started this podcast. You know, we're trying to bring unique value that maybe not everyone in the industry has uncovered to our audience. And I think we've done that today. So thank you so much for the lesson on customer experience that you've given us today. And really appreciate your time, Mo.
Yeah, I appreciate it as well. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, this has been the Destination Marketing Podcast with Adam Stoker and Jordan Barker. We're excited to have you along. And tune in for the next episode, and we'll catch you on the flip side.